Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the Lord, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord. Darkness seems to hide its face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
I think we had a little interruption with sound there, and I apologize, because as I was coming on air and I clicked the microphone on, we had a problem with the page reloading, and so I apologize for any lack of sound that you might have experienced. This morning on The Cross in the Desert, I want to talk to us about a very important topic. It's that seven-letter word entitled freedom. What is freedom? And most importantly, what is your concept of freedom? As a human rights activist, for my Iranian friends, the topic of freedom is a hot-button issue. As you know, they're oppressed living in Iran. There is no religious freedom. There is thought police constantly monitoring everything they think and believe, and what they say out of their mouth can result in consequences with long-term prison sentences. What they believe can result in long-term prison sentences if it goes against the Islamic Republic of Iran. And so the topic of freedom with my Iranian friends is an issue that they are agonizing over every day about. That's why they leave Iran, because there is no freedom. So this seven-letter word entitled freedom has major consequences for them. And I enjoy being their voice. I fight for their rights. I speak to them all the time about having the right to say, to dress, and believe what they want to. I believe in freedom. I'm always going on Facebook and signing petitions and fighting for their rights and for their human rights and freedom. But today I want to talk about an aspect of the word freedom that is even more important than the physical freedom that Iranians are fighting for. I think the best way to illustrate that is to go into an event in history more than 30 years ago, and this event is everything about the word freedom. It's talking about the fall of the Berlin Wall. This event is a great illustration of the topic of freedom. World events often move fast, but it is hard to match the pace and power of change in 1989. It culminated in one of the most famous scenes in recent history, the fall of the Berlin Wall, the actual collapse of communism. Now, a little bit of history about this so you understand the context. The wall came down partly because of the bureaucratic accident, but it fell amid a wave of revolutions that left the Soviet-led communist bloc teetering on the brink of collapse and helped define what is called a new world order. November 9th, 1989, 5 days after 500,000 people gathered in East Berlin in a mass protest that the Berlin Wall dividing communist East Germany from West Germany crumbled. East German leaders had tried to calm the mounting protests by loosening the borders, making travel easier for East Germans. They had not intended to open the border up completely. The changes were meant to be fairly minor, but the way they were delivered had major consequences. Notes about the new rules were handed to a spokesperson, Gunter Schabowski, who had no time to read them before the regular press conference that was scheduled. When he read the note aloud for the first time, the reporters were stunned. Private travel outside the country can now be applied for without prerequisites, he said. Well, journalists wanted to know more details, so Schabowski, he shuffled through his notes, and as far as he can ascertain, did immediately. Well, in fact, it had been planned to start the next day with details on applying for a visa. But the news was all over television, and East Germans flocked to the border in huge numbers. Harald Jager, a border guard in charge that evening, said that he had watched the press conference in confusion and then watched these massive crowds arrive. What do you do? Well, here's what you had to do. People would have been injured and killed without shots being fired in scuffles if there had been a panic among the thousands gathered at the border crossing. And they knew that. And so that's why I gave my people the order, open the barrier. Thousands flowed through, celebrating and crying in scenes beamed around the world. Many climbed the wall at Berlin's gate, chipping away at the wall itself with hammers and pickaxes. And that was the beginning of the fall of the Berlin Wall, which absolutely culminated in 1991. But this beginning was seen all over the world. It was a confusion, a mix-up about when to open this border. And I look at this as an act of God, a divine miracle. It shows the power of the gospel had chipped away at this scene many years before. Remember when President Reagan in 1987 stood there at the Berlin Wall and said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." I want to talk about this scene, this frenzy for freedom in detail. And one of the best ways I can describe it to you, other than talk about it from the Berlin Wall, is to let you hear a song by a Christian artist who wrote this song based on the events of 1989 culminating in 1991. Here is Wayne Watson and Freedom.
Freedom.
From Home Free, and the song called Freedom. Wayne wrote this song around the events of the fall of the Berlin Wall, describing in this song the topic, the concept of freedom. I hope you paid attention to the lyrics, because I want to tell us about the chorus. Let's go to the chorus. Freedom. People cry for freedom. Freedom without Jesus is just another wall. Freedom. Give the people freedom. Give the people Jesus, or they've got nothing at all. Very profound lyrics, especially the part about freedom without Jesus is just another wall. Think about that. This barrier, this wall, had divided East from West Germany for so many years. And the day that wall came crumbling down, there was true freedom. People could cross over the border that had been secured. Communism was collapsing. There was freedom. But Wayne writes, Freedom without Jesus is just another wall. What is he saying? He's saying it's possible to have physical freedom, to have happiness, to have purpose and meaning in your life. But according to God's word, you can have physical freedom, but still be bound inside, so that freedom without Jesus is just another wall. It's as if the wall was still standing. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you what it means. Jesus talked about this kind of freedom that every human being on the face of this earth needs. And it's like this. I can talk endlessly to my Iranian friends about human rights and freedom. And let's say one day soon, like the Berlin Wall, the regime suddenly collapses and democracy and freedom comes to Iran. My friends are physically free, but spiritually seeking and spiritually speaking, they are still bound by the power of sin. And so according to God's word, they really don't have the freedom that he desires to give. In John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus begins to speak about this kind of freedom that all of us need. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "Well, we are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Wow. Notice what Jesus is saying. For those who are obedient to him, they are truly his disciples. And there's something they're going to know. They're going to know the truth, and the truth will set them free. The truth about, what are they talking about? What are you saying, Jesus? Well, his answer is, when the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders look at him and say, "How are you talking about freedom? We're not enslaved to anyone. What do you mean, become free? We're free." The Jewish people, especially the religious leaders, were blinded by their tradition. They looked at their stock, their race. "We are children of Abraham. Don't you know who you are talking to, Jesus? We're children of Abraham. We're free. What are you talking about?" They were deceived, believed even though they were physically free, that Jesus must be mistaken when he's talking about this type of freedom. They were deceived by sin. What Jesus is saying here is that you may be outwardly physically free, but inwardly you are bound by the power of sin. Sin has kept you in bondage, and you need to know the truth about that in order to be set free. The truth is, unless you were born again, unless you are given a new heart and a new spirit, you are enslaved to the power of sin, and therefore you are not free, children of Abraham. He says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. They had not come to him and recognized him as the Messiah. They were bound by their religious traditions. They were bound by the deception that because they were children of Abraham, that somehow that guaranteed them this special status, and that because of that, they're free. We're children of Abraham. How are you saying we're not free? They didn't understand that the power of sin is so deceptive. And so, bringing home my point, if I were to spend the rest of my life talking to my Iranian friends who are not Christians, some of them are not, if I were to spend the rest of my time only emphasizing human rights, as important as that is, and I will labor every day to talk about human rights, if I only talked about that aspect of freedom, I would be misleading my Iranian friends, because God has called me to not only be an advocate for human rights, but a messenger, a teacher of the gospel that sets men and women free on the inside from the power and the corruption of sin. It is possible, as I mentioned, for one day this regime to crumble and fall, and I pray it happens. And the Iranians that don't know Christ believe that true freedom has come. And in one sense it has, but in the most important sense, until they know Christ, until they know Him as Lord and Savior, they don't know the truth, and they are not free. They are bound by the chains and shackles of sin. And so what Jesus means is exactly what Wayne Watson said. Freedom without Jesus is just another wall. It's as if the Berlin Wall was still standing there. But there is another wall he's talking about, the wall of deceit and sin that keeps people bound. I desire with all my heart for my friends in Iran to have the freedom to think and to believe and to wear what they choose. That important word choice is talked about so much in our culture. It's my right, it's my body, it's my choice. But you see, there is a deeper sense of freedom that Jesus wants us to know. We are bound by the chains and shackles of sin until we come to Him. And we cannot choose on our own merits to be free. We must be born again. God must change our heart and our spirit and create in us a new nature that is free from the bondage and the corruption of sin. And so this morning we have talked about one of the major events in history, the fall of the Berlin Wall. We've talked about the physical freedom that millions of people in Germany experienced for the first time with the collapse of communism, a freedom they had longed for hundreds of years, it seems, to happen. And finally, one day, the walls crumbled. You can have that freedom. You can enjoy that freedom, but until the Son sets you free, you are not free. You are not free at all. And this is the message that God has called me to give to my Iranian friends. Without Jesus, the walls and the barriers will never crumble. They will never fall down. There is an Independence Day that every person topside of this planet must experience. An independence and a freedom from the bondage and shackles of sin. And so I'm praying this morning that you understand clearly this message I give to you. My dear friend Mary, who is in Korchak prison, is in chains. She has prison bars that keep her from leaving and going to the outside. But Mary knows Jesus. And even though she's in that prison and cannot leave, inside of her heart and spirit, she is free. She is free in because she knows Christ is her Lord and Savior. And I'm praying that the message of the gospel will be heard by many, many women in that prison, because my dear friend Mary has the freedom in Christ to proclaim His truth to those inside that prison that are bound by many walls, not just the prison wall. And this morning I pray that have you never come to know Christ, you've never enjoyed real, true freedom. I pray this morning that you would cry out to Jesus and ask, give you this freedom that I'm talking about, this freedom that is a gift from him to you, this freedom that gives you the power to live a life of joy and happiness, to be all that God created you to be. Once you know Jesus, you have that freedom, not only from the powers and shackles of sin, but also the freedom to be what God has created you to be. So I pray this morning, as you listen to this broadcast and ponder the message that I've been sharing, you would think about what true freedom is. That seven-letter word that we would die for. Remember Braveheart? The scene where he cried out, William Wallace, freedom, freedom, he yelled it, and then the executioner beheaded him. That movie's all about freedom. And William Wallace did know the Lord. And so he was ushered into eternity with Christ. But his last breath was about freedom. I pray that you know Christ today. I pray that you come into a relationship with him, that you experience this true freedom that I'm talking about. I want to thank you so much for listening today. I will see you this Saturday for a special Crossing the Desert broadcast. Have a great weekend.